Lately, I have been thinking a lot about choices. Not the ones I make, but the choices people around me seem to be making. For instance, why Susie Donovan thinks it's okay to pick her toenails on this plane journey to Italy, her bare feet on the seat as her nail clippers snap the ends of her toenails off. But more importantly, why Evan Winters believes my armrest is his pillow. "You're doing it again," I moan over the loud rumble of turbulence that throws me against the window. My book falls from my hands and lands next to Evan, who has propped his jacket up on the armrest and is lying awkwardly on it, his long legs tucked under the seat rather than in front. He doesn't bother replying, but makes a point of adjusting his position and closing his eyes. It's early morning, and I know I should be asleep, but between the turbulence and Evan's tickly coat, it's pretty much impossible. "Hello, move your coat to the other side," I say again, flicking the top of Evan's forehead. His immediate reaction is to tense up, and he opens one eye, looking up at me, but he's upside down. I'm leaning over him so his face looks funny. His eyes are wonky from this position, and his nose sticks out so far I can see inside his nostrils. It's pretty gross. But the more I look, the more I notice all his other features. He's got full lips, the type of ones that people with fillers would be jealous over, and a thick band of eyelashes that makes me jealous. "I can't move it there," he replies gruffly, opening the other eye. "And why ever not?" "Because that side gives me a headache. I can't lie like that without waking up with a dodgy neck," he complains.
"Your neck will be the least of your worries if you don't move," I threaten, though it's weak and holds little meaning to it. I know I couldn't even punch my way out of a paper bag.
Evan begins laughing, and I can tell in his eyes he's recounting the experience himself.
"Do you remember? God, when was it? 5th grade? When you tried punching your way out of a paper bag?"
He chuckles. Susie Donovan, who until this very second has been very intent on her toenails, looks over at the two of us and frowns as if we are the problem.
"I did no such thing,"
I lie, but I'm trying to stifle a giggle. "I have no idea what you're talking about."
"Oh, own up to it," Evan snorts. "I remember it. You were standing on your front porch with that grocery bag, and who was it?"
"Toby Rhinestone," we both say together.
"Yeah," he carries on. "Toby told you that your muscles were as weak as a floppy fish because you couldn't carry those 2 bags in. I remember you trying to punch the inside of this bag. All you did was dent it a bit."
Evan laughs again, looking at me quizzically.
"I mean, it was made of paper, Kayla."
"Shut up." I nudge him off my armrest. I wasn't exactly trying to prove a point.
"Whatever you say."
He holds his hands up and moves his coat.
"But try avoiding the physical threats when you know the only thing you can damage is the inside of a paper bag."
"You never stop talking, do you?" It comes out more like a question rather than a statement. I see Evan hold his grin, an expression of sheer amusement laced over every feature of his face. Since he's sitting up, his hair has gone matted and seems a darker shade of brown in this light. He tries fixing it in the reflection on the plane window, but it gets him nowhere.
"Not when I'm right," he says after a moment.
I roll my eyes. "So, where's Jess?" I flip open the tray compartment on the back of the chair and pick up my book from the floor. Evan doesn't look my way as I refer to his girlfriend, so I press further.
"Let me guess."
I entertain myself, holding my hands out in front of me.
"No comment here, folks,"
I snigger to myself. Evan doesn't talk about things like this. He doesn't really talk much at all, not usually. He's the silent and broody type, always the one in the corner who keeps to himself. He's got a small circle of friends, and they don't interact with anyone else but themselves. If they aren't speaking in low voices in class to each other, they are behind the bike shed with a cigarette dangling out of their mouths.
"You are so weird,"
he mutters, and rotates his cell phone in his palms aimlessly. He can't use it, but there seems to be a dire need to ever since we got on the plane hours earlier.